ignorance is the official language of Washington, D.C.
I'm here to challenge you to a match.
When it comes to standing up for the American people, I am ready to rumble.
I think that we may need a wrestler in the White House.
Hello and welcome to the Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby.
My name is Chris Kelly.
It is Thursday, September 5th, 1:21 in Washington, D.C., in our nation's capital, home of the inaugural AEW television episode.
Finally giving meaning to this town.
Home of gimmick president, WWE Hall of Famer Donald Trump, who this week has done my favorite thing. He gimmicked a map.
The question this morning, did President Trump show a doctored map hoping to prove he was right when he warned Hurricane Dorian would hit Alabama? The president displaying that map in the Oval Office.
That was the original chart, and you see it was going to hit not only Florida, but Georgia. It could have was going toward the Gulf. That was what was originally projected, and it took a right turn.
Take a closer look. The black line projecting that Dorian would move from Florida to Alabama appears to be drawn on by a marker.
Yeah, that was good work.
So what Chris and I are referring to are gimmick numbers. Now, WrestleMania has always had an attendance level that's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
WrestleMania's biggest attendance for a long time was at the Pontiac Silverdome, brother, when Hulk Hogan body slammed Andre the Giant for not the first time, even though it was billed for not the first time. And they said there was 103,000 people there. Now, that number was a lie. There were fewer than 103,000 people, but the Catholic Church didn't realize that, so they added more seats when Pope John Paul II spoke there, so he would have the record.
And that's how wrestling works in all facets of our life.
So now Donald Trump, who is a WWE Hall of Famer, marked up a hurricane map.
Because he misspoke and said that the hurricane would be heading toward Alabama, so they actually had to draw with marker on the map. Pretty great. A lot of people are upset. That's a federal offense, actually, to do that. But who cares? Nothing matters. And it was really funny. Almost as good as this week. He's in, I guess, a war of the words with Will and Grace actress Deborah Messing, or even better, Deborah the Mess Messing.
Now, you're way more excited about this than I think warrants excitement.
Oh, yeah. No, it's just like a quick note as a reminder to any of the prospective, I don't know, what are we down to, about 16 candidates for the Democratic
nomination?
We have
10 in the debates, but there's a bunch.
None of them are coming up with cutting names like Deborah the Mess Messing, you know, Jesse the Body Ventura, Ms. Mizanin. No one's doing the president.
So, and the reason why the Donald is upset with Deborah the Mess Messing is because SmackDown's going to Fox? Like,
it's because she probably called him a racist, which he is. But, you know, like, that's just fodder to get the feud going.
The reason why we're doing this episode, when we're doing this episode, is because The Rock has finally weighed in on 2020. Almost as soon as 2016 was decided, there were rumblings of should The Rock run.
Royal rumblings.
And both sides were trying to recruit The Rock. He was on the cover of National Review, which is a conservative publication. When his Sexiest Man of the Year article came out, they talked about a presidential run. We've talked on this show about how he doesn't really represent any one culture, represents all cultures. Italians confuse him for being Italian. Middle Eastern people confuse him for being Middle Eastern.
I think he's Greek, because I'm Greek.
Exactly. He ain't. He owns horses in Virginia. Anyways, The Rock sort of kind of weighed in on the 2020 candidate of the final season of Ballers.
First episode of Ballers, there is a scene where his character,
who is essentially The Rock.
The Rock, as an agent, is reading Elizabeth Warren's book.
And here's that clip. He never actually says Elizabeth Warren here.
Right.
Because he's brilliant.
Yeah.
So here's some of that audio.
Hey. Time for a swim.
You know what? You go. I have one more chapter left.
The same chapter you've been reading for the past 3 hours? Come on. What's up with you in the water?
What are you talking about?
You hate it.
I don't hate it. What do you mean? I love the water. Every house I have to be near the ocean.
I know this.
That's a good thing, right?
Would be if you're wearing your Speedo.
Come on.
You've been promising you go boogie boarding for the past 3 days. Starting to think it's bullshit. You know, come to think of it, I don't think I've ever seen you in the water.
What are you talking about? We just took a shower together this morning.
I'm talking about the ocean, wise ass. Not a pool, hot tub.
Yeah. Oh, you know what, babe? When football calls, I gotta answer.
Way to deflect, Strathmore. Well, you better come meet me or I'm throwing that fucking phone in the ocean.
I will. I'll be right there. Boss man, did you butt down me again?
You always make me laugh, Strathmore. Where are you these days? Some exotic locale with a beautiful woman?
I'm actually curled up in my home with a good book.
Bullshit.
Okay.
Yeah.
He is holding an Elizabeth Warren book. He says it's got a lot of good ideas, and he has thus far not endorsed anyone in any presidential race other than to get out the vote. Now, The Rock famously to you and me, appeared at the 2000 Republican National Convention with then-House Speaker Dennis Hastert.
Yeesh.
Who, is it Hastert or Hastert?
It doesn't matter.
So it doesn't matter because he went to jail for wrestling-related crimes against humanity.
Yes, which Vince McMahon has never gone to jail on. Even though he's committed his fair share.
So Dennis Hastert was into shoot wrestling and shoot molestation of boys.
This is, I've regretted this, doing this in public.
And, oh yeah, we're doing this outside of a school.
Yeah, we might be joining Dennis Hastert if this podcast gets wide distribution. So The Rock has finally weighed in, kind of.
Sort of.
That's the most he's done. He also, you know, made the time-space continuum close on itself because that book mentions that
Ballers.
She was watching Ballers in the 2016 election.
Ballers is her favorite television show.
Yeah.
Your message is a very strong one. I find it very counter to what your favorite show is. When I think of what Elizabeth Warren's favorite show is, I would not guess that it is Ballers.
That's but it
true.
Is.
Okay. Because you didn't tweet to all the reporters tweeting at me about the season premiere of Ballers on Sunday night at 10 p.m. like I haven't had this date saved on my calendar for months. I know.
True. I know.
You know. And by the way, someone else noticed your tweet. This is Dwayne The Rock Johnson, the star of Ballers. You reporters better put some respect on Senator Warren's name. She is ready for a season premiere of Ballers. And then, thank you, Senator, for the support. I feel we'll deliver our best yet. You have a big rock-sized hug coming when I see you.
Whoa.
I mean, that is...
That's good.
I would say a rock-sized hug is both very exciting and also very terrifying. Just be a little careful about a rock-sized hug.
She's cool.
If she's appealing to The Rock, she's appealing to mainstream America. That is huge. That's bigger than any policy platform. Even though she was on CNN last night and arguably performed better than any other candidate in the climate change debate, and actually gave substantial answers that didn't come off as crazy or weak, unlike literally everyone else.
Yeah, the good thing is this: that's the Rock kind of sort of shouting you out matters. The CNN town halls, none of them, to quote The Rock, it doesn't matter.
You're right, but it's one more thing where she looks competent.
Yeah, she's gonna have one this week. I believe she's doing a speech in New York, and it's gonna be one of these. You know, the campaign stops that campaigns like to do where you have just the streets filled with people, you have some monument behind you, and you're making a big statement. And she's going to have one of those this week. So you start adding these up.
Now, this is a podcast about the intersections of presidential politics and professional wrestling. So speaking of New York and speaking of big press conferences, AEW had their final pre-TNT pay-per-view, the second annual Chicago Inland Area pay-per-view. Not all in, it's all out.
All out.
We have a champion, the AEW universe.
You mispronounced it. It's Le Champion. It's Chris Jericho. And he is AEW's first champion. Is he their youngest champion? A lot of people bring up his age, but he's actually the youngest champion.
The youngest champion at 48 years old.
Yes, looks every day of it.
I said something last week, and I... almost,
apologize to AEW.
I'm doing that right now. I'd like to apologize to champion Chris Jericho. I'd definitely like to apologize to AEW. I said they were dumb before they began. Chris Jericho's post-match promo brought me all in.
All in.
Here's some of that promo.
I'll give myself an interview. Isn't it funny how whenever somebody wins a world championship, there's always a standing ovation, champagne, roses, flowers, yet I got a whole backstage area filled with mutes. Oh, you see that, Bucks? Chris Jericho, the first champ. How apropos, isn't it?
Great, great match, Chris.
Yeah, thanks. Congratulations on having Chris Jericho as the new AEW champion. The pleasure's all yours, Bucky boys. Look at you. Nice hair, idiot. What's your name? I don't care. Shut your mouth. All the cops can't believe it. Paramedics? Huh? Where were you when I was bleeding to death? Standing around like a bunch of morons. Look at you, giant idiot. What's your name? Look at you. Librarian, you tell me to shush? Up yours. Scorpio Sky, you'll never get a shot at this. You hear me? None of you guys. Idiots.
Top five promos of all time? Not this promo, but top five promo givers of all time. Yes. Is Jericho in the list?
He's got to be on the list that he created. Literally everything, every gimmick he's had, I was going over the front. Not only did he do amazing promo and segment work with no support at WCW for almost a decade, where he did a thing where he was around DC as a conspiracy victim.
Is this a promo? It's a video package. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
This is Chris Jericho producing this himself, I think.
Yes.
Cutting a promo about himself in conspiracies in 98? Clinton was in office, correct?
Yes, 98.
Okay.
Okay, now we're getting somewhere. I just talked to Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, talked to his law clerk, and I know she'll give him the message. And when he has a chance, he'll definitely have a meeting with me. I just know he will. Battle Royal. And all the guys were listed in the Battle Royal, but Dean Malenko was not listed in the Battle Royal. He was under a mask. He took the mask off, surprised me, and he beat me for the belt.
That's great. And then he did other stuff. He had his 1,004 holds. He did all these things in WCW. But then you go to WWF, now WWE. His first night, he interrupts baller star Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Probably play a little of that promo too, because it really applies to the wrestling landscape.
The Rock is not impressed.
Thank you. Thank you.
Jericho's got a lot
of guts. A new era is what this once proud and profitable company sorely needs. What was once a captivating, trend-setting program has now deteriorated into a cliched, let's be honest, boring snooze fest that is in dire need of a knight in shining armor.
Oh, he's talking about you
and
now, JR.
Why I'm here. Chris Jericho has come to save the WWF.
Oh, from what? You're going to get your pink slip.
Now let's go over the facts. Television ratings, downward spiral.
Who's he kidding?
Pay-per-view buy rates, plummeting. Mainstream acceptance, non-existent. And reactions of the live crowds, complete and utter silence. And I know why you're silent. You're silent because you're embarrassed to be here.
What?
And quite honestly, I'm embarrassed for you. And the reason why you're embarrassed is because of the steady stream of uninteresting, untalented, mediocre sports entertainers who you're forced to cheer for and care for. No wonder you're not cheering. You can care less about every single idiot in that dressing room, and especially this idiot in the center of the ring.
The Rock is going to explode, King, any minute.
You people have been led to believe that mediocrity is excellence. Uh-uh. Jericho is excellence.
And you brought this up to me, what is it, 17 years later, 18 years later?
No, it's like almost like, I think it's 20 years later.
20 years later, all of this is true.
All of it's true, because heels are always right, Chris Jericho's always right. Even since he came back to WWE, we don't have to play any of these bits, but we've talked about them over the years. I mean, he came back, even in just like since 2016, the list of Jericho, the stupid idiot stuff, the Festival of Friendship, which I think is one of your favorite segments.
That's my favorite segment that's not related to reality. My favorite segment of the aughts is Punk Pipes Bomb. Pipe. Like, the only reason why that's good is because it relates to reality.
Right. But the Festival of Friendship as an in-storyline thing.
Favorite
basically,
thing
he's able to just kind of, and he's done that since a year or so ago when he started going to New Japan, which kind of spun off into this AEW thing. That's to say, Chris Jericho, when you give him a mic backstage and a little bottle of, a little bit of the bubbly.
Oh, a little bit of the bubbly.
He's going to have a good time, cut a good promo, and be selling shirts by 24 hours later.
I can't think of any candidate that's doing this right now, be it Trump or the Democratic field. I don't know if anyone has the gift of gab that Jericho has.
Right.
But I do think a rock bump is bigger than anything that any candidate can say.
Yeah, no, it helps. I mean, it didn't help, you know, Roman Reigns when The Rock lifted his arm kind of unconvincingly.
Ooh, so is this the real question. Is this the Stone Cold Steve Austin Rock matches at three consecutive WrestleManias, or is this the Roman Reigns bump? So that's how we have to deal with the Rock these days.
Is it a kind of half-hearted contractual obligation, or is this where he's going to pull the full power behind it and take a stunner and really sell it and put someone over? That'll be the question for Elizabeth Warren.
Oh, a little bit of the bubbly.